Good morning. We're going to be in Hosea today. Not a book I usually spend a lot of time in, but it's a certain story I want to talk about. I'm going to read just the first three verses of Hosea 1 to start. I'll be mainly in the New International today. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. We're not really told a lot about Hosea. I am assuming that he was a fairly devout man because he was chosen as a prophet and because he proved diligent in doing what God told him to do. And this seems like kind of an unusual request. Go find and marry an adulterous woman. Basically, go marry a prostitute. It's not what you would expect a God to tell his prophet to go do. What must have been his reaction? You know, when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah wasn't real excited about that. He thought that Nineveh was too evil, and he thought he was too good to go, and had to be drug kicking and screaming over to do that. And so I think to myself, what must have Hosea's response have been? I would expect maybe too proud to do that like Jonah, or maybe a why me pity party. God, why are you asking me to do this? And then finally what it seems like he ended up doing is he humbly said, "Yes, Lord," and he did that. So Hosea pursues and marries a girl named Gomer. Beautiful name, Gomer. And he enters into a lifelong covenant with a prostitute. And what we'd like to see is we'd like to see Gomer turn 180 degrees and straighten out. Right? That would make for a nice story. We'd all enjoy reading that. Gomer turns around and she becomes a godly woman and helps Hosea in his ministry. Because of the trust and the love that Hosea put in her. But that's not what we see. That isn't what happened. Gomer continued to chase other men, giving herself away. And it got to the point that Hosea had to go and buy his wife back, presumably from either a slave trader or a slave market. And that's in Hosea 3, the first three verses of that chapter. "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, 'You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you.'" So what must he have felt? He's going to this, I'm envisioning a slave market, and I don't know if it was the sort of thing where everybody's hooting and hollering and bidding, or if it was kind of quiet and you just kind of gave a nod. But if it was a market, she would have been displayed to all the potential buyers and probably in the least modest way. And Hosea would have been bidding against other men who may have been hooting and hollering, or they may have just been quiet and they may or may not have known what his situation was. Just how embarrassed he must have been going to pick up his wife from such a place. And the shame and feeling inadequate that he wasn't good enough and she had to take off and go do this. He's willing to pay the highest price. He just wants his wife back. He's bidding in anguish while everyone else is probably having a fine time. Whichever way it was, it wasn't easy. It was awkward, it was painful, it was emotionally draining, and it was expensive. Do you suppose Hosea was tired of the struggle? He pursued this woman. He entered into a covenant with her that she didn't deserve, and she went after other men, and now he's pursuing her again. He's pursuing her the second time. Why was it that God asked Hosea to marry this adulterous woman? In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, "Go take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." He was meant to be an example to show people what it was like for God when his people would go off. God provided everything they needed, and they'd go off. And then he'd pursue them again. So this morning we're going to look at this story a little bit more in detail and pick out some of the parallels. The first thing is that Hosea knew what she was when he chose her. That I hadn't read this story a lot of times, so looking at it in preparation for the lesson, I was surprised, because I always thought that God said, "Go marry Gomer." No, he didn't. He said, "Go marry an adulterous woman." He picked her out. He chose Gomer. And he knew she was weak in this way, and he wanted her anyway. He loved her. You know, God's known each of us far longer than we've been here. If we go to Isaiah, you can keep your finger in Hosea if you're there, because we're going to be back. But if you want to go to Isaiah chapter 46, if we look at verses 9 and 10, it describes God. I'm hoping I'm in the right place here. Yep. "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come." He knows everything that's going to happen. Like with Dad's example with the collection of the Lord, or the ark. He knew that none of those animals, he didn't need any extras. None of the clean animals would die, or the unclean animals. I get it all mixed up. But he knew that he didn't need any extras. In Jeremiah 1 and 5, he tells Jeremiah, get to it so I can quote it correctly. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Do you think that God knew any of us less than he knew Jeremiah? He knew us every bit as well as he knew Jeremiah. And he knew Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb. He didn't just know in generalities that we would sin. He didn't know that Derek was going to mess up from time to time. He knew that Derek was going to mess up this time, this time, this time, this time. How? What I did to allow that to happen? He knows about the ones where I just mess up, and he knows about the ones where I just decide to do it willfully. He knew about all of those. And he knows about yours too. And he loves us still. He knew those up front. He knew those on the first day of creation. It was old news, even then. So the first thing was that Hosea knew what she was, who she was, when he married her, and he wanted her anyway. The second thing is that Hosea loved her and pursued her. I already made this point, I guess. The bad thing when you start talking without using your notes is you cover points that you're not to yet. Okay, so he chose her, and if you look in Hosea 3, the first verse, we find that he does actually love her. It's not, he doesn't just marry her because God told him to. It says, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again.'" Go show your love to your wife again. So he loved her. And this is after all this had gone on. So he must have, I would think it'd be easier to love her before. But he still loved her after all this had gone on. And then Hosea gave of himself. That's the third thing. Hosea gave himself. He provided everything for. As a husband, you're the provider, especially back in these days. Hosea gave himself. In Genesis 1, at the end of each day, God says, it is good. Everything he created that day is good. Who's it good for? Is it good for God? Does he need plants, animals, and sunlight? No. Water? Does he need air to breathe? No. It was good for us. He provides everything that we need. And Hosea did that same thing for her. And the result was she sinned against him. She repaid his good with evil. And that's what God has with us. We repay his good with evil. Now, many of us have realized that we've been doing that, and we take advantage of Christ, and we're trying to serve him. But still, at best, we're unprofitable servants. So she sinned against him. I don't see how he couldn't have been hurt and angered. He's hurt and angered by all this, but he still loves her. If you look at Hosea 2, some commentaries will say that this is describing what happened with Hosea and Gomer. But it sounds like he's using the imagery of their relationship to describe Israel to me. But if we read from 2 through 13, it expresses his hurt. It says, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children, because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and the oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold which they used for Baal. Therefore, I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers, and I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. The Lord is hurt. The Lord is hurt by the actions of these people. But still, he loves them. If you go want the very next verse. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. We talked about trying to woo a sheep during class. And we're referred to as sheep. So this, he's showing us how that's done. Therefore, I'm now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. So it's closer. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain and the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. The last part refers to Hosea's children. If you go down a little further in the first chapter, the first son was called Jezreel because God was going to punish the house of Jehu for a massacre at Jezreel. The second child was a daughter, and they called her Lo-Ruhamah, which means, this is a terrible name for a child, It means not loved. That's what it means. And the next child was, let's see, another son named Lo-Ammi, and that one means not my people, which is a whole lot better than not loved. So then you look at the end of chapter 2, and he says, I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one, and I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. There's that, I think it refers back to his children. So Hosea was hurt, he was angered, he still loved her, and God does that for us. The next point is, when he pursued her again, she hadn't asked for forgiveness. She hadn't repented. At least we have no record of it. No record of a letter or a message repenting and asking forgiveness before Hosea came. So either there's just no record, or my guess is that she was too ashamed to send a message like that. And he went ahead and did that anyway. And we see that with Christ too. He's offered everyone salvation. He's offered everyone salvation. There's nobody that's so bad that he didn't offer them salvation. Like Dad was showing, the difference between the best and the worst of us is so small. There's no one he hasn't offered. And it's not because of anything we've done to deserve it. It's not because we are so holy and so righteous or we've turned ourselves around already. It's because he hopes that we will, and he's willing to help us. So now he's pursuing her a second time, and he gives of himself again above what he'd done before. He goes to this horrific sale, and he's bidding for her, and he pays what's required, and he takes her home. Let's go to Romans 5 for a moment. Romans 5. I think the story of Hosea and Gomer is a story of grace. It talks about unmerited favor. But if we go to Romans 5, we read the first two and then skip down to 6. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'll skip down to 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So God gave of himself again too. He's already given us everything, down to the air that we breathe and the dirt we walk on. And we repaid that good deed of his with evil. And now he's giving of himself again and above what he did before. The next point is that Hosea tells Gomer that he wants her back. In chapter 3, the third verse, then I told her, you are to live with me many days. That means I want you back. You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. He's saying, if you will come and be with me, then I will be with you. And that's exactly what Christ has told us. If we'll come to him and accept his salvation, and we'll be with him, then he'll be with us. She hasn't earned this. She doesn't deserve a second chance. You know, under the new law, the way our understanding of it works, if if she had cheated on him, he had the right to divorce her. If we go back to Leviticus 20, they were under the old law. Verse 10 says, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. So she had a death sentence. She didn't deserve a second chance. She deserved to be stoned, according to the old law. That's what she deserved. We don't deserve a second chance either, but God gives us one. Probably daily, sometimes multiple times a day, if we need it. Like Matt was saying with the bread, the grace is, it never runs out. It never runs out. He provides all the grace that we need. So Hosea expresses his love for his wife in her worst possible moment. He shows her that he still loves her, that she has value, and that he sees her virtues. And you look at the story and you say, well, what virtues can he see? What virtues? There aren't any virtues here. No one is properly defined by one quality. I think one of the problems that we tend to have is we will mess up really bad and we start to define ourselves by that. Or we see someone else that's messed up really bad and we start to define them by that. And that's a huge mistake. The worst person you could ever meet has some talent or good attribute that's better than what you have. Some attribute. You know, she may have loved Hosea with, you know, a great deal. She may have been very, very affectionate and loving. She just had this weakness. She might have been a good mother. She may have had a good sense of humor and been fun to be around. She may have been generous. We don't know. We don't know. But he saw some good there. He saw some virtue. I want you to think of it like a beautiful painting. Maybe think of the best painting you've ever seen. And imagine it has a little tear in the lower corner. Are you going to miss the painting because you're looking at the tear? God's able to look at us and he sees the painting. He sees the tear too, but Jesus is able to fix the tear. So he sees the painting. He's always seen the painting. He's seen the painting before the tear was there. There's a song on the radio. I can't remember the artist or the name of the song, but I like the lyrics really well. But it says, you are more than the sum of your past mistakes. I think the song is called You're More. And that's Gomer, and that's us. If you go to the very end of Hosea, the last chapter, the New International has a tendency to put little titles above their chapters. And the title above 14, and this is not inspired, but it says, Repentance to Bring Blessing. That's how they labeled this chapter. And the first verse says, Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. He's calling for return. He says, Come back. What is God saying? He's saying, I want you back, just like Hosea did to Gomer. He says, Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. for in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel, he will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots, his young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade, he will flourish like the grain, he will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a green pine tree, your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. God's saying, return, come back, I want you back, and if you come back, I want good things for you. I want good things for you. You know, the scripture talks about everyone sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us have been the Gomer. We've all, it's still a lovely name. By the way, Gomer means complete or perfect. So, even Gomer was able to be made complete or perfect. But I wanted us to think about God's grace this morning. Those are my thoughts for this morning. If there's anyone who's in need of initial obedience or has some problem to bring before the group, we offer that opportunity as we stand and sing.